Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 to 28. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. The Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is ever faithful, dear fellow redeemed. Just about everybody loves a challenge. That's one of the reasons why sports is so popular in our country. It's a challenge to defeat the other person, to defeat the other team, a challenge to push yourself to the limits, a challenge to be the best you can be, a challenge to meet and exceed personal goals. Challenges make life exciting, life interesting. Even mundane, tedious jobs can be made fun if the challenge is involved. Let's see who can rake up the biggest pile of leaves. Let's see who can gather up the most toys in the basement. This morning, Joshua lays before every one of us the greatest challenge in life. Whom will you serve? Who will be the God of your heart and of your life? Who will be most important and first in your life? Joshua lays this challenge before every one of us here this morning, men, women, and also you children. Joshua challenges us to serve the Lord. Last Sunday, we heard Moses' farewell speech that he gave to the children of Israel before he died. He reminded them of the great prophet who was going to come from their midst, from them, of course, pointing to Jesus. And now this morning, we hear of Joshua's farewell speech. Some 30 years have passed. Moses was taken up to the mountain. He saw the promised land and he died and God buried him. And then God took Joshua and the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan River when it parted. They went into the promised land, attacked Jericho, Ai, one city after another, one nation after another, and God gave them all the land. Remember how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down? He even had the sun stand still so the sunlight stayed longer to give them a victory. And Joshua, at the beginning of his challenge, reminds the people of all these activities that God did for them. The Lord, through Joshua, is describing his covenant faithfulness. You mentioned in the scripture reading, all the I's. I did this. I gave you this. I delivered you. I saved you. All those things, the Lord's actions are rooted in pure grace. Undeserved actions. And the Lord God was the one who took the initiative. We read some of those verses again. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I also sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. Afterward I brought you out of Egypt, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And I brought you into the land, and I gave the enemies into your hand. I destroyed them. I delivered you. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. God gets all the credit. Israelites, none. The Israelites were given the promised land not because of their faithfulness, not because of their goodness, their obedience, and their love for the Lord, but because of God's covenant faithfulness, because of God's goodness, because of God's love to his people. Let's now jump more than 30 years. Let's jump many, many years. Let's jump ahead to today. Let's say God is speaking to us this morning. Do you think he'd say this? I took you from your slavery in sin. I brought you out of Satan's control. I have forgiven you. I bought you for myself as my children through my son's shed blood. I've destroyed your enemies. I parted all your problems like the Red Sea and the Jordan River. I sent you pastors and teachers and spiritual leaders like Moses and Aaron and Joshua. I called you and brought you into this church as members of Peace Through Christ and of the Church of the Lutheran Confession. I brought you together as husband and wife with your spouse. I gave you your children and your grandchildren. I've given you your health. I have showered upon you so many blessings that you can't even count them all. And I will bring you into my promised land, a land for which you did not labor, a land which you did not build in. It is my heavenly home in which you will live with me forevermore. It's all God's doing. God gets all the credit. We none. It's not because of our faithfulness, because of our goodness, our obedience, our love, that God promises and has given us all these things. It's because of his covenant faithfulness to us, because of his grace, his love to you and me as his children through faith in Jesus. The Lord, over and over again in his word, in his dealings with us, has pledged himself in covenant faithfulness. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. What greater comfort can all of us have when we see our sins and our failures? We have a God who has been faithful to all of his promises, a God who forgives iniquity. What greater comfort can we have in this uncertain world where man makes promises and breaks them just as fast as he makes them than in the sure promises of our loving and ever-living Savior and Lord that we can rely on? When we fall short of the glory of God, when we continually miss that mark by not obeying God's word, sitting in word, thought, and deed, what a great comfort to know that we have trials and tribulations that face us. We can turn to our Lord and our Savior with trembling, repentant hearts and hear our Savior say to us, "Daughter, son, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven you." Now the Lord, through Joshua and the rest of our text, changes the pronouns from I to you. We read in verses 14 to 15. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." 5 times "you" or "your" is now used, and 7 times the word "serve" is used. But what exactly is Joshua saying here? He's saying, that's okay. You guys can go ahead and you can serve the gods of Egypt. Go ahead, you can forsake the Lord Jehovah. Go ahead, serve the gods of the Amorites. No, he's not saying that. He's making them look at their service and see what exactly is happening. He's saying, do you really want to choose? Okay, let's choose. You going to choose those gods? Those man-made, make-believe gods who have done nothing for you? Go ahead, then choose them. Then give them your time. Give them your love. Give them your worship. See what will happen. Or devote your time and your dedication to the Lord who has done all those things I just mentioned earlier in that same chapter for you and your fathers. The Lord declared the same thing years earlier in Deuteronomy 6:13. He says, "Fear the Lord your God and serve him only." The powerful words of the Lord through Joshua worked. They worked in the lives of the people and their hearts, and they said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We will serve the Lord." In other words, they're saying, "We'll meet your challenge, Joshua. Yes, sir. We're going to serve the Lord." Now, if you hadn't heard this section before, you're reading it for the first time, you might be shocked. You'd think that Joshua would say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Let's go! Serve the Lord!" He doesn't say that. What do you say to the people? No. You cannot serve the Lord. I was reading, one of the commentators said that Joshua's answer perhaps is the most shocking statement in the whole Old Testament. It's exactly what he wanted to hear. Exactly what he was hoping God's word would do. Tell him, "Yes, we're sorry, we'll serve the Lord." And yet he says, "No, you can't." So why did he say that? Well, we're not told for sure, but I believe there's several reasons. One is, talk is cheap. Let's just say it, people. Let's see you do it. Joshua was testing the sincerity of these people who also themselves were involved with idolatry over the years. His aim is to strengthen their commitment and cement their promise and their vow to serve the Lord. Secondly, he's also warning them, don't get all goosied up with this emotionalism stuff. Don't just think now that we're having this movement of excitement that this moment, we're going to serve Jesus, we're going to serve the Lord Jehovah. He wants to make them count the cost of commitment. What's the cost of your loyalty? What's the cost of your vow, your faithfulness? Temptations to compromise the Lord is going to be all around you. And sometimes it's going to be overwhelming. The holy, righteous God will settle for nothing less than total allegiance. Joshua wants again to stress the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the worthiness of the people's faithfulness. Their only hope is not in their pledge of allegiance, not in their commitment of faithfulness to the Lord. Their only hope is to cling to the Lord's faithfulness, to his promises, to his grace when they fail. Well, God is indeed a just and a righteous God. He is also a living, loving, and forgiving Lord. And Joshua also wants to break down all the ideas that Israel can remain loyal because they relied upon themselves. Self-confidence is tragic when it comes to spiritual matters. Confidence in God and confidence in his word is critical for remaining faithful until death. What does the Lord say? For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And finally, possibly Joshua is veering into the, looking into the future, and he's seeing what's going to happen when the people do fall away, forsake the Lord, serve other gods, the curses, the captivity, the dispersion, and ultimately eternal death. But the people listen again to Joshua's words, and again they say, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua says, "Okay, you're witnesses to your own promise." In fact, he says, there are three witnesses to your promise. You yourself, who said this, the book of the law in which I'm going to write these words, and this large rock that I'm putting here under this oak tree. We read in verse 27. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone, this rock, shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." That large rock, every time they pass it, will be a reminder to them, that was that day of the covenant. That was the day that God gave his covenant to us and we made our covenant to them. And so every time they look at that rock, it'll remind them of that. And so if they've fallen into idolatry, it'll rebuke them and show to them, you broke your promise. Kind of like a wedding ring. You failed. Your wedding ring reminds you, faithful to your wife, faithful to your husband. This rock reminds them, be faithful to God. It'll accuse them of idolatry, unfaithfulness. It's as if that rock was like a tape recorder. Long before the technology of video audio came into being, it heard what they said. And as they walk by, look at that rock, they'll hear their voices responding back to them. I promise faithfulness. We promise faithfulness to the Lord. What have I or we been doing? So we too, every single one of us here, male and female, young and old, also have to apply this challenge from our Lord, given by Joshua. We've seen our God's great love for us. He chose us all through baptism. He washed us and cleansed us of our sins. Every Sunday he announces that to the pastor in worship services. He strengthens us in our word through our daily Bible study, our study in church, Bible class. He assures us of everlasting life and forgiveness for us confirmed adults. He gives us his very body and blood through the bread and wine for us to eat and to drink, for the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins and strengthening of our faith. And now it's time for Joshua to ask you and me, whom will you serve? Does serving the Lord seem undesirable to us? Does it seem somewhat like a drag? Boring, useless, no fun, unprofitable, too much of our time, too much of our effort, too much of our work, too much of our blessings? Then okay, go ahead. Choose the gods of this world. Choose the gods of pleasure, joy, material things, riches, this life. Then choose them as the ones to whom you'll give your time and effort and your worship. But if you have had Jesus Christ touch your heart with the gospel message, if you know Jesus is the one who came and sacrificed his life for you, and God the Father's love for you is filling your heart so that you know that your sins have all been washed clean and you've been given forgiveness, life, and salvation through no work on your own, then you'll be led to devote your time and your talents and your efforts to serve the Lord and say, like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Apostle Paul wrote somewhat similar words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "For Christ's love compels us." We mentioned in our Bible class that word compel means to kind of almost force us along. It moves us. We don't do the moving. The Lord's love does. It compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, Jesus, and therefore all died. And he did die for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. When we see that God in love chose us, redeemed us through Jesus' blood, called us through saving faith through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel, forgives us and lavishes upon us all the many, many physical and especially spiritual blessings, nothing will be able to stop us from shouting and from singing, "Then here will I and mine today a solemn covenant make and say, though all the world forsake thy word, I and my house will serve the Lord." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered and faithful to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.